Welcome to the conference call to discuss the completion of the reorganization of Rostelecom on the 5th of April 2011. I will now hand the conference over to Maria Yeliseva. Please go ahead, madam.
Good morning and good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today for this call regarding the completion of the reorganization of Rostelecom. Present on the call today are Alexander Provatorov, President and Chief Executive Officer, and me, Masha Yeliseva, Head of Investor Relations. You can find the presentation on the reorganization at www.rt.ru in Financial Reports section of Investor Center. Before we start, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update the statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after the date hereof or to reflect the occurrence of unexpected events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements. Following the presentation, we will be happy to answer your questions. I will now hand the call over to our CEO, Alexander Provatorov.
Thank you, Masha. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today. First of all, let me remind you shortly the history of reorganization process of Svyazinvest companies and Rostelecom. 2010 was a year of significant change for us and for the whole telecommunication industry in Russia. We have been busy preparing for the major reorganization of the telecommunications assets controlled by the government and for the merger of seven regional incumbents of Svyazinvest, or RTOs, and DAX Svyazinform with Rostelecom. This merger will create a strong national integrated operator, which will provide a full range of telecommunication services on a pan-Russian basis to residential, corporate, and government customers, as well as other operators. The reorganization process began in May 2009, when the Government Commission on Transport and Communication approved the restructuring of the state-owned telecommunications assets. The summer 2010 AGMs of each of the regional companies and Rostelecom voted in favor of merger and approved the applicable equity swap ratios, which were based on the independent report provided by Ernst & Young. Rostelecom and the merging companies each repurchased shares during the summer of 2010, which together represented 2.27% of the ordinary shares and 28.8% of the preferred shares of the merged company, for approximately 14 billion rubles. The shares were repurchased from the Rostelecom and RTO shareholders who voted against or didn't vote on the reorganization. Rostelecom and each of the RTOs contributed their respective repurchased shares to the share capital of Mobitel, which became the 99.99% owned subsidiary of New Rostelecom when the merger was completed. The RTO shares that have been acquired by Mobitel have been exchanged for newly issued Rostelecom ordinary shares, and these treasury shares can be used either for M&A transactions, financing opportunities, or for management stock motivation plans. The reorganization process entered its final stage at the beginning of 2011. The regulator registered the additional issue of 2.2 billion Rostelecom ordinary shares and up to 31.56 billion rubles of Rostelecom bonds in the middle of February. We notified the MISEX and RTS Russian stock exchanges on the 25th of March that the RTO shares would cease to exist from the 1st of April, and trading in the RTO shares was therefore halted on the 28th of March. The reorganization was effectively completed on the 1st of April, when the RTOs and DAX Svyazinform were excluded from the Uniform State Register of Legal Entities, and the RTO share and bond holders have received new Rostelecom shares and bonds. Over the next 2 weeks, we will prepare a report on the result of the placement by means of the share and bond swap. And we will provide this document to the regulator for registration. The registration process will take approximately 2 more weeks. We therefore expect trading in the newly issued Rostelecom ordinary shares to commence on MISEX and RTS at the beginning of May. The Rostelecom shares listed on MISEX will be traded as 18 separate issues for a period of 3 months. All of these separate company shares will then be merged into 1 new Rostelecom class of ordinary shares and 1 class of preferred share after the 3 months period. The shares listed on RTS will be traded as just 2 shares from the outset. With regard to the ADR programs of 7 RTOs, The reorganization has been carried out under Russian law, and it is the underlying shares rather than ADRs that have been exchanged. JP Morgan, which is the owner of RTO Securities under Russian law and the depository bank under US law, has therefore received the new Rus Telecom ordinary shares in exchange for the RTO shares underlying the ADRs. JP Morgan is required to sell the new Rus Telecom shares and return the cash net of costs to the ADR holders. The RTO ADR programs will be terminated. Trading in the existing pre-organization Rostelecom shares and depository receipts will not be halted at any stage during the process. Given the rapidly evolving competitive environment, we have not just been focusing on preparations for the transition to the new corporate and capital structure. We have been integrating our activities as 9 independent operators in order to ensure that the establishment of a new single integrated company is a smooth process for all of our stakeholders and our customers in particular. We implemented a new organizational structure for the merged company during 2010 and centralized a number of common functions, including procurement and marketing. We have also working on the post-merger business development strategy. We have evolved our approach to the organization and management of the company. For example, we are working on a project to develop an employee motivation program for the merged company and have already implemented a number of common initiatives to enhance efficiency levels across the business. We have signed collective agreements with the Communication Workers Union on all aspects that relate to our employees. Eurus Telecom is clearly the largest player in the Russian telecommunications market. We have substantial human, infrastructure, and financial resources. And we also have access to the necessary frequencies and licenses to provide integrated services across the whole of the Russian Federation. We will provide more information about the strategy for the newly merged company in a separate announcement in due course. What I can say now is that we have a number of priority strategic drivers or directions. Firstly, our objective is to develop our position as one of the Russian's leading mobile operators. We also intend to consolidate our position as Russia's number one provider of fixed-line broadband internet access. We also want to grow our presence in the pay TV market and to extend our leadership in the corporate telecommunications segment. We are committed to maintaining our number one position as a national provider of traditional voice telephony services by launching a range of initiatives to minimize the effect of mobile substitution. We are also focused on building our leadership in the B2B segment. Our goal is clear to generate and realize substantial synergies by increasing operating and financial efficiency levels. And finally, we will transfer the overall business to a single unified Rostelecom brand. This corporate identity is under development at the moment and will be unveiled later this year. Our strategic initiatives will be focused on each of our customer groups, residential, corporate, government, and operators, and making our services offering of telephony, data, TV, and value-added solutions available across both mobile and fixed-line networks. The overall strategic goal for Eurus Telecom is clear, to grow the business and boost profitability levels in order to generate sustainable economic value and deliver superior shareholder returns. We are operating in markets with tremendous growth potential. The opportunity is clear, and we are determined to fully exploit it. Thank you, and now back to you, Masha.
Thank you, Alexander. We will now be happy to answer your questions. In order to allow enough time to deal with everyone's questions in the time available, we would ask that you limit yourself to one initial question and one follow-up question. Operator, please, may we have the first question?
Thank you, madam. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause while participants register for a question. The first question comes from Alex Kazbegi from Renaissance Capital. Please state your question.
Hi, good evening. if I may, the two questions. The first one, I was wondering the cross-ownership which exists now between Svyazinvest and Rostelecom back and forth. Is there any plan to eliminate that? And if so, when can we expect and how it can be unwound? And the second question would be about your mobile strategy. I was just wondering if you can give us some more detail in terms of how do you see Rostelecom becoming the one of the leading mobile operators? Is it through acquisitions? Is it through build-out of your own network? What will be the main pillars of that strategy, please? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alex. First question, you're absolutely right that we have cross-ownership with Sverdinvest. And, of course, we believe that it is not a business of operational company to have such significant and expensive stake like our stake in Sverdinvest. We think that it will be a good opportunity for some of government agents to acquire the stake to improve, you know, government control and large government control if they want to do it. Our second option, which is discussed now with the government and Sverdinvest, is to consolidation of Sverdinvest and Rostelecom. And in this case, the cross-ownership will be terminated by itself. It is not clear how the situation will be resolved. There are a number of different scenarios and options. However, as I said, we expect that the cross-ownership to be resolved, and we do believe that the value of our Sverdinvest stake is now higher than when we bought it. Is it okay for first question?
Do you expect this to be finished sometime before the next year elections, or there's no real time frame for that?
I hope that it can be resolved during this year.
Okay, thank you. And mobile
strategy, of course, the mobile strategy is a part of a big strategy. The details will be announced when the strategy is approved. But I can say that we have planned to utilize licenses and frequencies currently available to the group, I mean, Sverdinvest group. And in this case, I'm talking about Skylink, first of all. Skylink has UMTS licenses for almost the whole territory of Russian Federation. We believe that mobile voice is not so interesting market for Rostelecom because of very high penetration and very tough competition between all of operators. And we believe that mobile data is a much more interesting segment of mobile business for us. So answering your question, we think that we can utilize Skylink 3G licenses together with Skylink CDMA licenses for rural areas, and we have such plans. Simultaneously, we are discussing internally the option of MVNO agreement with one of big three operators. It's too early to disclose any details. But we want to make our homework and, to understand, is it a better, idea to go by MVNO scenario or to build our own network, which can be used, for some future purposes as well. Third option, we have signed a preliminary agreement with company Skartel or IOTA together with big three operators. Vimpelcom, MTS, and Megaphone, which allows us to acquire proportionate stake of IOTA in 2014 and to have ability to utilize IOTA network, which should be constructed during this time. And we hope that we can get legally binding agreement shortly, I hope, and after that we can start together with Megaphone, MTS, and Wimpelcom start to think about construction of 4G network. Is it okay?
Two maybe clarifying questions. I mean, on Skylink, if you pursue that one, presumably you would prefer to have control of Skylink, which you don't have now, which you have just 25% for sales invest. And the second clarification maybe, have you considered buying somebody like Tele2, for instance, or some small operator?
discussing, we are discussing with Sphere Invest various scenarios and opportunities how to use scaling frequencies and licenses. My understanding is that we will find some solution. And of course, you're absolutely right. Our goal to control 100% of scaling. Now I cannot, disclose how we will do it. But the aim is absolutely clear for us. Second question: we do not comment our potential M&A deals and activities. It more or less in respect of Tele2. And we do not think that we have more potential targets. We have some, very slow participation in NTK process. But again, there is nothing to discuss right now.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Igor Semenov from Deutsche Bank. Please state your question.
Yes, hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to follow up on something you mentioned earlier today at the press conference. You said your CapEx guidance for the medium term for the next 4 to 5 years is going to be 20% of revenues. I just wanted to understand why you think it's going to be so high, and maybe do you have a medium-term revenue and EBITDA guidance as well, or maybe a short to a medium-term revenue growth and EBITDA margin guidance as well? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We do not think that we have high CapEx projections. My understanding is more or less in line with our competitors in Russia. Probably on the developed market it can be less, but we see a lot of opportunities in Russia. You are pretty much aware that we have less than 30% penetration of broadband. In Russia we have less than 30% penetration of pay TV. We have very low penetration of mobile data, and to realize all these opportunities, of course, we need to have enough capex. Again, I don't think that it's higher than we can see from our competitors. Second question: we do not provide guidance for AIDA label. I think that you will see a report, first combined report of unified company soon during this month, and you can make your own projections in respect of AIBDA level of the company.
In terms of revenue growth, do you have any guidance for the next couple of years?
All the same. The answer is the same.
Okay, and can I just then follow up on the your mobile strategy? You said that you basically have three options. One of them is developing the Skylink, essentially, through and you see opportunity in mobile data rather than in voice. I guess my question is it not the same? I mean, if you're building a network, it should be, it will support both data and voice. I mean, there's no difference, right? So my question is, you will become, if this is your preferred route, you will become the full-blown competitor to the big three mobile operators, and do you think that the investment that you have to make into the mobile data network, will they be adequately rewarded? Do you think you'll be able to generate enough returns?
Okay. Yes, we believe that it will be the profitable business for the company, and you're absolutely right that in case of building our own UMTS network or MVNO scenario, we will voice operator as well. But again, me personally, I don't believe that we can, you know, significantly enlarge our market share in the voice segment. In case of data, for example, you know, very simple example, we have 1 million of subscribers of Edge in only in Euros region right now. So if you provide all these, you know, people with 3G or 4G network, I think that, you know, effect will be, you know, very good. Our you know, strategy is to build the network, first of all, in the areas where we have clear opportunity, you know, to return our money. And, of course, we will wait and we will, you know, go slowly in the regions with, you know, very high competition or in the regions where we don't have, you know, clear possibility to have profitable business, good profitable business. So, of course, we will do it smoothly and there is no idea, you know, to build a mobile network in 1 year and, you know, just for the status of federal mobile operator.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Zoltan Palsy from Credit Suisse. Please state your question.
Good afternoon, Alex and Masha. It's mainly a technical question, more of a follow-up to the first question asked. Can you give some color about the minority interest line, both on the balance sheet and the P&L for the enlarged company, given the cross-ownership between some of the assets?
Thank you, Zoltan. I would recommend you to wait for combined report, which, as I said, will be ready soon, and I think that you will see all effect of cross-ownership in this report.
Right. Thanks, Alex. And the second question is, I'm wondering whether you face any regulatory obstacle to bundle together fixed and mobile services going forward, or you're free and allowed to do so in the future?
Thank you, and I don't see any big problems with it. Let me remind you that we have Urals region, and we have already packaged services in this region combining fixed mobile internet and now television in one package. And we can see that all of our competitors, I mean MTS and Wimpelcom, not Megaphone, you know, providing services in the same manner to the customers, or so, you know, they're starting to do it. So we don't think that it will be a problem for us.
Right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Evgeny Glosnoy from Troika Dialogue. Please state your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got a technical question in a way. Didn't quite understand when you said about conversion of ADR programs. Could you confirm at this stage that there will be a conversion of ADR programs previously conducted for regional telcos into the Rostelecom ADR program? So what I mean is that there will be no hassle, no major hassle for shareholders. They would not have to sell anything or buy anything. It will be done by the depository. Or is it wrong or is it correct?
Thank you, Evgeny. My understanding is that it's correct. I would like to ask Masha probably to add something.
Yeah, JP Morgan is the depository bank for RTO depository programs, got the ordinary shares, and they have to sell it and give the money back to the holders of RTO depository receipts.
But that means that people holding shares of regional telco or regional telcos in the form of ADRs will not receive Rostelecom ADRs. They will receive cash for their shares, right?
Yes, they will receive cash.
But that somehow poses for what you've been saying previously, that they might switch into the Rostelecom ADRs. So this is not the case anymore.
Yeah, there are some legal restrictions that prevent us from doing this.
Okay. And at what price and where JP Morgan would sell them?
They have a room of about 1 month to sell the shares on the open market, so it will be market price.
But how can they sell the shares of companies which no longer exist?
No, they will sell ordinary shares of Rostelecom, the new issue that they got in exchange for the ordinary shares of TOS that they held as a depository bank.
Okay, but that means that people who may still own not ADRs but Russian local stock of Rostelecom, they can still hold the Russian stock, or the shares will be sold anyway by JP Morgan.
So it's only regarding the depository program, what I just discussed.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Thibaut Bocco from Okriti. Please state your question.
Hi. Two questions, if I may. One is regarding the synergies. Can you update us on already realized the synergies between Rostelecom and regional telcos in terms of the revenues and costs, and what is your view going forward, specifically in 2011, whether there are some major programs in realizing these synergies? Thank you.
Thank you, Tibor. Again, we had estimation from our consultants and our own evaluation that we can realize synergies up to 30 billion rubles of NPV for 4 years period. We have number of plans and initiatives, you know, to realize all the synergies. From cost side, it's a unified procurement policy, which we are in the process of implementation. We have created special department of procurement, and our main goal till the end of this year to realize main and CapEx, main from you know, cost point of view, procurements in the headquarters of the company. From revenue side, of course, the main idea is to package different and various services for the clients, to make upsell to our fixed line subscribers with internet and pay TV services. If we get 3G or 4G operations, of course, it will be upsell of new services to our current customers. We have just launched first such package in 1st of April, in the same date when we finished the reorganization. It's a package of 3 hours of international intercity calls to our subscribers for internet and pay TV. And of course, we think that we will have more such packages in the future. Talking about synergies, I would stress out that number of quantity of sales synergies will not be proportional for each of these 4 years. Of course, the number of synergies will be higher for last second years rather than for first years.
So do I understand correctly that when we receive the consolidated numbers for 2010, there will be most of these synergies will not be realized, basically almost none of that?
Yeah.
Most of these synergies will be coming in the future, right?
Of course. Frankly speaking, I think that we got some synergies in 2010 because we made some steps before the reorganization to improve our policy in respect of network maintenance and network construction. So we eliminated some double projects in respect of network development. But main synergies, of course, you will see later.
And in terms of the headcount reduction, is there some plan for already 2011, some significant plan?
We have such plans. We have an agreement with labor union, and we coordinate all these projects with labor union. I don't have exact figures, but we have a program for replacement of analog equipment. We have a lot of employees of senior age, which can leave the company for the retirement in the nearest time. So I think that, of course, we'll have a reduction of our personnel.
Okay. All clear on synergies. Second question, if I may, would be on Moscow strategy. Can you update us on the assets that you are buying in Moscow, and what would these assets allow you? What kind of services to offer in Moscow, and what would be your competitive situation versus the Moscow operators?
Okay, thank you. You're aware that we bought in the end of 2010 a company called National Telecommunications. This company has its major asset in Moscow, which calls Mostelecom. Our strategy in Moscow lies mainly in development of Mostelecom business and national telecommunications business as well, because Mostelecom is network and sales is and other operations are in national telecommunications company. We have some plans. First of all, we have our goal to have up to 100% of national telecommunications and 100% of Mostelecom in our possession. I hope that we can realize both of these goals during next year. Mostelecom is quite successful growing business. At the end of September of 2010, they have around 5 million subscribers, not only in Moscow, but including other cities. And they have 4 million TV subscribers and more than 400,000 broadband subscribers. They did, we think, that very successful job during last year, and they have up to 100% growth in Moscow in broadband, and we believe that they will be one of the biggest players in Moscow market. Simultaneously, we are discussing with Связинвест and Central Telegraph scenarios in respect of Central Telegraph subscribers, broadband subscribers, and hopefully we can make some agreement in respect of Central Telegraph subscribers as well. In this case, we will be a significant player in Moscow market. We have a pretty aggressive business plan for National Telecommunications and Mostelecom for current year. And we are ready to support this business plan with all necessary financing. And probably last, if we start to build our own UMTS network in Moscow on scaling frequencies, of course Moscow will be one of key market, and I hope that we can get some subscribers in Moscow with mobile broadband as well.
Just to clarify, you want to increase stakes to 100% in 2011, right? In these two companies.
During this year, I will be more conservative. If I can do it during this year, it will be very good.
Thank you very much for your answers.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrei Stoyanov from BCS Asset Management. Please state your question.
Good evening. My question is, does the board of directors prepare any amendments to the charter of the company that will concern the rights of preferred shareholders of the company? And the second question, please, could you please give us some indications on when the general meeting this year will take place, for example, mid of June, end of June, and so on. Thank you.
Thank you. We don't hear any discussion in respect of PREFs now. So currently we don't have any initiatives or any discussions in respect of this issue. And the annual meeting will take place 27th of June.
In Moscow. Thank you. Thank you. And just one follow-up question, please. Are you still interested in Arcada?
I think it's a difficult question. I don't believe that we can find good solution in terms of price with the shareholders of Arcada.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Ivan Kim from Renaissance Capital. Please state your question.
Hi. The first one is on your dividend policy. Will it change, and what is the time frame? And the second one, technical, please. When the issues of Rostelecom common shares will be merged, is it 3 months from the registration of the issue at FSFM, or is it from the start of the trading? Thank you.
Thank you very much. First question, we understand the importance of this issue for all our investors, and we will make some consultations and our homework in respect of dividend policy of the company. We want to be a good example comparing with our direct competitors and other Russian companies. And I don't exclude that after such homework and presentation to the board, I don't exclude that we can change the dividend policy. But it is not, it is not clear right now. Anyway, we will make all all efforts to understand and to provide the board of directors with the full analytic materials in respect of this question. And second question, Masha, can you answer, please?
Yes, it will be merged with the existing issue of Rostelecom shares in 3 months period after the registration of the reports of the placement.
So
with the regulator.
Yeah, so that would be pretty much around the month before the trading starts in early May, right?
No, if we say that we as a company take about 2 weeks to make this report, then we provide it to the regulator, and the regulator has also about 2 weeks to register it. So in a month from the 1st of April, we expect the registration of the report, and from this date, after 3 months, the issues will be merged.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from Alexander Vengranovich from Okriti. Please state your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Do you plan, I just have a question on equity raising this year. Do you plan to raise equity this year? And maybe do you consider GDR program as a part of the equity raising? And if yes, do you plan to do it this autumn or later? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. We do not think the necessity for us to go to the equity market as a company. We think Rostelecom has no need or intention to issue shares or sell our treasury shares to finance our current operations. We have enough financial resources from our banks to finance all of our operations. What's the question in respect of SPO? Can you repeat it, please?
Yes. Do you consider GDR program in connection to that?
Yeah,
it's like in London, equity, SPO in London, for example, in Oxford.
We do not consider equity SPO in London or somewhere else as a company. But we heard some, some rumors that some of our shareholders can make some placements through the stock exchange. But first of all, we need to make listing, and we hope that we can do it during this year. We will have... We'll have depository program for such listing. It's too early, to say GDR or ADR program, but I hope that we can finalize it during this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. The next question comes from Viktor Kromovich from VTB Capital. Please state your question.
Good afternoon. I have a follow-up regarding mobile strategy. Can you please, Alexander, can you please elaborate on the on your data mobile data strategy? You said that you don't expect that you will be quite, very aggressive in terms of capex. But on the other hand, we see that all mobile operators, MTS, Megafon, and Vimpelcom, they are very aggressive in terms of data network rollout. So don't you afraid that these opportunities in data market, which you mentioned, might be lost within basically 1 or 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. It's interesting that you are, not in line with Deutsche Bank for this question. When I said that we will have around 20-22% of annual capex for the next 4-5 years. Of course, if we decide to build a 3G network for next 2 years, it will be significantly higher. It's the first, first part of my answer. Secondly, as far as I understand, the main direction of capex for our competitors, MTS, Vimpelcom and Megafon, relies to the network, not for, base stations and 3G, 3G equipment, but to improve and to enlarge their backbone infrastructure. And in Rostelecom, we have such backbone infrastructure, more or less. Of course, we need to expand it, we need to enlarge our capacity, but we don't need to finance it in the same volume like our competitors. probably it's an answer. And probably third part of this issue, the cost of 3G equipment is significantly lower than 2 or 3 years before. That's my understanding. Probably I'm not, you know, I'm wrong, but my understanding is now we can have much more interesting conditions from our vendors.
Yes, but if I understand this correctly, your competitors, mobile operators, they want to build fiber optic networks, and as far as I know, Rostelecom, of course, you have much wider 3G, backbone fiber optic network, but again, you need to build fiber optics to each base stations to compete with our respective competitors. So, what do you think about this?
Yes, but we have network of regional companies, which is, you know, pretty wide. As far as I remember, is more than 2 million kilometers of network, and I believe that we can cover all major cities, including so-called районные центры. And our competitors, as for my understanding, just started such project. For example, as far as I remember, Синтера just announced plan to reach all районные центры.
Mm-hmm.
By fiber, and we have already did it in the main of our region, in the main regions.
Okay, yeah, I see. Thank you very much.
Yep, did you want to take? No?
Yeah,
turned it back. Okay, thank you.
There appear to be no further questions. I will now hand the conference back to Maria Yelisiva.
This is it for today, so thank you for dialing in and for your questions. We look forward to speaking and meeting with you over the coming weeks and months. Goodbye for now.
Thank you very much and goodbye.
This concludes the conference call to discuss the completion of the reorganization of Rostelecom. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.